So we'll continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, text number 3 and 4. Tam bandhu magatam dristva,
tam bandhu magatam dristva,
dharma putra sahanuja,
dharma putra sahanuja,
dhritarashtra yayutsuscha,
dhritarashtra yayutsuscha,
shruta sarat bhuta prita,
shruta sarat bhuta prita.
Translation: when they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhisthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. We continue the purport from where we left off yesterday. The purport is broken up in giving a biography of some of the personalities that are mentioned here, and particularly some of the prominent ladies. Like yesterday we discussed Gandhari, and then now we'll discuss Prita. Prita, daughter of Maharaj Surasena and sister of Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. Later she was adopted by Maharaj Kunti Bhoja, and hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. Oh. Basically, it said that Kunti Bhoja did not have any children. So then in the family they decided, all right, we'll give him one. Nowadays, forget it. Yeah? That would be like inconceivable, you know. If one of the family members have no children, give him one. Are you out of your mind? But that kind of togetherness was existing. So relationships like that are not automatic. One is not automatically a family or automatically a community. It depends on genuine exchanges, on genuine emotional support. It's there that that people become indebted to one another, and it is there in that feeling of indebtedness that relationships are bonded. It will continue. So it's quite extraordinary that they just gave Kunti Bhoja a kid. Yeah, take her. So Kunti, she's the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead. So then we can see that she was empowered. She was not just an ordinary person, but here it is described that she is Shakti Avesh. Not only was she a great and pure devotee, which is obvious from her prayers, which are recited in Bhagavatam, but here she is identified as Shakti Avesh. So that's an important point to take note of, right? That she was particularly very, very successful. We know this this famous verse, Vipadas, Vipadas, Santutasa, Swatata, Tata, Jagat Guru, which is pointing out that Kunti had to face all these incredible hardships, all these great difficulties. She was alone. She was a woman. They were against her, and they were out to kill her. First, her sons trying to poison Bhima, but Bhima was given a poisoned cake, and subsequently by Duryodhana, and then Bhima was thrown in the water. So I thought, so that should fix up Bhima. But what happened was, when Bhima was sinking down in that water, then, and it was quite deep, deep underwater there were snakes. And these snakes, they bit Bhima. And their poison happened to be the antidote for the poison that was given to him. So in this way, Bhima returned to his senses. And then you emerged out of the waters. So by just the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, Bhima was protected there. We know the story of the house of lacquer, which was arranged very nicely, a house built of incredible flammable material, the kind of house, you know, like one flame and the whole thing bursts out in flames. So they built this nice house and said, oh, this is our gift to you, the Pandavas. You can stay here very nicely. And stayed there. And but there were warnings from Vidura. Vidura, in coach, sort of made it clear. And also that they should make a tunnel to somehow or other escape. So they did. There was a tunnel. So when the house got on fire, they escaped through the tunnel. But it is also said that just that night, there was a family. They were the guests. Yeah, they were their guests. They had come late night to their house, a mother and five sons. They were Jats, outcast people. But somehow or other they had been given shelter. So they were also there in the house. But they burned. Yeah, they burned. So later on, when the house was burned, they actually found the bodies, you know, one female, five male bodies, all dead. Pandavas dead. That was confirmed. They found the bodies. Finished. But then there were clear signs at one point that the Pandavas were alive. So in this way, the Pandavas were saved, right? Against the odds. It was like, virtually speaking, no longer possible. Right? Okay, so that was just a few little attacks that they survived before the war of Kurukshetra. Of course, they survived the forest also. The center is jungle, rakshasas, and so on. Everything they survived. And then this whole Kurukshetra battle, which was like the most impossible thing of all. No one survived. It was just an incredible slaughter. Everyone on that battle of Kurukshetra was just destroyed, one after another. And somehow or other, the five Pandavas, all of them come out unharmed. And how is it possible? Everyone, you know, after the battle of Kurukshetra, there was a funeral ceremony. And everyone had lost someone. Everyone. A father, a brother, a son. Everyone had lost someone. Or everyone, right? But Kunti lost no one, right? All the five Pandavas survived. Just inconceivable, inconceivable. Therefore we can see that Kunti's success was no longer just ordinary success, no longer success that can be based on good karma. It was success that was based on special mercy of the Lord.
He just turned it all around, right? Everything. Doom, right? When doom, impending doom, he just turned it around and made it auspicious in somehow or other. It happened. We see at the end of the battle that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, get down from the chariot and to take his bow and arrows. So he does. And the whole chariot bursts out in flames, just like that, and burns in front of Arjuna's eyes, who can't believe it. This is a chariot he got from Agni. There was a time when Agni wanted to eat the Kandava forest, and at that time, Indra was protecting the inhabitants of this forest. Taksak was like a notorious snake who later bit Maharaj Pariksit, was residing in that forest. Indra, for some reason, was protecting him. So, therefore, Agni could not eat that forest. But Agni needed to eat that forest because there were certain herbs in that forest which were good against indigestion. And Agni was suffering a lot from indigestion by taking too much ghee from all the offerings that had been made in the sacrifice. Therefore, so Agni needed to eat that forest. And Arjuna was willing to help, but Arjuna said he had to face Indra, basically. So Arjuna said, I have no weapons to face Indra. So then Agni arranged it. All right, I will give you. And Agni gave him the chariot. And Agni gave him this bow, Gandiva, and these celestial quivers. So then he had a celestial chariot and celestial weapons, a celestial bow and celestial arrows. This is a gift of Agni. And then he helped Agni. And Indra sent rain to, while Agni was burning that forest, Indra sent rain and Arjuna made an umbrella. Yesterday he made a net and today he made an umbrella with arrows. Right, so no water was coming through. So that was it. And Agni just ate the whole forest. Finished. So everything. And all the envious creatures who lived in that forest died, except one, Mayadhanava, who then made that palace, extraordinary palace for the Pandavas. So in this way, we are seeing how everything was arranged. And at the end of the battle, Arjuna got down from his chariot. It burned to ashes. My chariot, my invincible chariot. No, all this time, actually, the chariot had been protected by Krishna. All the astras, all the weapons, right, that had been fired at this chariot during the battle of Kurukshetra, now, at the end of the battle, when the battle was over, burned the chariot to ashes. Because at that point, Krishna, who had protected the chariot by his special Shakti, withdrew that energy. It wasn't the strength of the chariot that was able to take all those weapons that were fired at it during the battle. No, it was Krishna who personally protected it. And therefore the success of Kunti was depending on Krishna and on nothing else, not on her piety, not on her good karma, nothing to that effect. She was doomed, her sons were doomed, but it was by Krishna, Yatra Krishna Yogeshwara. It was like that. It was by Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, that the odds were turned around. Therefore, it is said here, and I think we can take note of that point. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead, which also is relevant to us, to our success. That our success is not dependent by any means on our own strength. But that our success is completely dependent on Krishna. Prabhupada said, yes, you may have Rahu in your chart, right? But Krishna can kick out millions of Rahus, just like this. So in this way, devotees are faithfully engaging in the service of Krishna and are acting in such a way as if the result of their activity depends on them, knowing that actually the result depends on Krishna. And they are not attached to the fruits of their activities. Karmani evadikaraste mahafali sukadachana karma falahi tubu. They are understanding Krishna. Krishna is the enjoyer of the results of my activities. And ultimately, karmani nirdahati kintu sabhakti bhajam. All living beings are under the influence of karma. Yastvendra gopa atavendra ahuswa karma. Whether it is Indra or the Indra gopa germ, a very insignificant creature, all are under the influence of karma. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvatina arjuna. From the highest planetary system down to the lowest. All of them, the living beings, are just caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So in that way, nothing can be done. But Krishna, only Krishna, is above. And Krishna can lift anyone above. Krishna is never affected. Avajanati mam muda manusintanam amritam. Fools think that I'm an ordinary person. They don't know my transcendental nature. They don't know that I am transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So it is by Krishna's grace, that the Pandavas became successful. The underdog. And the Pandavas, they were denied everything. The Kurus were the established rulers. They were the government. They had the army. They had everything. And then somehow or other, the Pandavas managed to get a powerful force together. Still, Duryodhana said, what can they do? They are Bhima Birakshitam, and my army is Bhishma Birakshitam. They have Bhishma as their general, Bhima as their general. He may be powerful, but we have Bhishma. Who can defeat Bhishma? No one. We have Drona. Then we will surely win. But when the Pandavas blew their conch shells, when Krishna blew his conch shell, Panchajanya, then that shattered the hearts of all these Kauravas. And suddenly their self-confidence was being destroyed. Suddenly they felt fear within their hearts, and suddenly they were not so sure that they were going to win anymore. Because we have seen, we know that Jarasandha came with his army 17 times, and that Krishna and Balaram single-handed single-handedly took care of that army. But Krishna promised not to fight, Duryodhana would say. Plus, I got his army. These are very powerful soldiers, extremely powerful soldiers. Yes. And Arjuna, the fool, he chose Krishna on his side. The fool, he had the first choice, that Arjuna. And Duryodhana went to meet Krishna and asked him to help in the upcoming fight. I think, if I remember well, it was Duryodhana who reached first. I don't know if you remember well. Duryodhana reached first. I still don't know if you remember well, even if you think you remember well. I'm not convinced. But Duryodhana reached first and sat down at the head of Krishna. And Arjuna sat down at the feet. That's one version. The other version is that Arjuna reached first, and that out of humility he sat at the feet, which could also be the true version. So I'm scratching my head. Anyway, whatever, Arjuna was there at the feet, and Krishna was lying on his back. So when he opened his eyes, he saw his feet. And he saw Arjuna. And when, so he said, then he saw Duryodhana, and then he saw, he could understand, oh, they want something. So he said, well, when I opened my eyes, I saw Arjuna first, so he can speak first. So Arjuna asked for Krishna to help. Krishna said, well, I will help, but I will not fight. I will not fight in the war. But one party can have my army, one party can have me. And Arjuna chose Krishna. Well, I mean, Duryodhana was jumping up and down in ecstasy. I mean, Arjuna lost it. He totally lost it. My God, you know what I mean? They had a moment of weakness. Mental retardedness. I mean, inconceivable, you know. But somehow or other, my good fortune was with me today. Krishna will not fight. What's the use of having him? Whereas his army is very powerful. Came out really good at this deal. But there, again, it showed Arjuna knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Krishna was on his side. And Arjuna knew that somehow or other. He knew it deep down in his heart. There will be victory. For us it's easy because we just quote the slok, you know, Yata Yogeshwara Krishna. Yeah, from the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there's Krishna, there will be victory. But Arjuna didn't have that verse yet, you know what I'm saying, at that time. See, it's for us it's easy, we just take shelter of the Gita, but Arjuna could not at that time do it as yet. But he had faith in his heart. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord, there's no doubt. Therefore, there will be victory. So in this way, Arjuna was very, very, very certain that with Krishna on his side, success would be there. And so it came to pass. Well, since we read already three lines more of the purport today than yesterday, maybe I'll read a few more. Kunti. She also served the great mystic sage, Durvasa, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigods she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired couplement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from virgin adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal, and as a result of this couplement, she became pregnant, and Karna was born by her. By the grace of the sun, she again turned to a virgin girl, but being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child, Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire from family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such a life, but at last Maharaj Pandu gave permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were set by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of the mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraj, and thus Yudhisthira was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, air, and thus Bhishma was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjuna was born. The other two sons, namely Nakula and Sahadev, were begotten by Pandu himself in the womb of Madri. Later on, Maharaj Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was so aggrieved that she fainted. These two co-wives, namely Kunti and Madri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children. The Pandavas and Madri should accept the sati rituals by meeting voluntary death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by great sages like Satasringa and others present on the occasion. So we can see that the whole situation is all going on by a divine plan. Everything simply taking place, and that the appearance of the Pandavas was not just an ordinary appearance at all. Nothing about their life seems to be ordinary. Just seeing one wife, five husbands. I mean, where is that found? But somehow or other, that also happened. Job, in a previous life, was performing worship to Shiva, and she asked five times for a suitable husband. Then Shiva finally said yes. Okay, since you asked five times, you'll get five husbands. These things are going on. So all these things, we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, although it is said that the Lord is avyakta murtina, he is the unmanifest form within this universe, that he is not directly involved with the management of universal affairs. That is a fact. But still, there is divine intervention of the Supreme Lord. It is also not the case that simply this material world is all going on by the laws of nature, and that Krishna is remotely responsible for putting these laws into place, and that he is the remote cause of the material world, but never the immediate cause. No, it is a fact. Krishna is the remote cause of the material world. But Krishna is also at times intervening with the material affairs. And at times he himself acts also. He's not concerned with the rising and setting of the sun directly. That goes on by his laws. But at times Krishna makes arrangements to uphold the principles of Dharma, or to uphold the proper order within the universe. Krishna again and again intervenes in universal affairs. So we can see that such divine intervention was the case at the time of the Pandavas. With that, I have finished a whole page more of the purport. Leaving more for further speakers, because otherwise, when we deal with so many points all at once, then instead of making the message more clear, the points become obscured by so much information. So I think we want to focus on how Kunti Devi was successful. She was empowered. The success potency of the Lord. It's pretty good to be incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. And how everything was, and how that was so, because it was the plan of the Lord. He wanted her to be successful. He wanted her sons to be successful, because they were particularly conceived for that purpose, for the purpose of establishing the will of the Lord within this world. So that brings up the point that everyone is besides an individual with individual needs and individual desires and individual dreams and hopes for life, there is another element that also everyone is potentially an instrument of the Lord, and that everyone has a role to play for the Supreme Lord. And it's like sometimes someone joins this movement and has like an amount of hair as much as a sheep, right? And then when it's all shaved off the hair, then sort of gradually the new identity becomes uncovered from under all this wool. The devotee comes out. Not immediately. It begins with shaving up, and then he finds a service, and then in that service, trying a bit of this and a bit of that, general service, and then some more individual characteristics begin to become clear, and a person just somehow or other slots into a particular service, and it becomes really clear. He's a pujari, or BBT man, or he's whatever, a book distributor, or a manager, or an artist, whatever, a cook, something, a warrior like Arjuna. So the identity comes out. So we can understand that every devotee has a particular role to play. We are not all stereotypes, all walking the same in the line and not stepping out and being exact and saying Hare Krishna all in the same way. No, we all are individuals who have a role to play and a contribution to make. That's what we're meant for. That is the higher plan. Like when Prabhupada said, please just give me this one life. Then one life, instead of just trying to be what we want, what we dream, what we're always hoping for, and what we never get, for one life, be the instrument of Krishna. And then, in that life, then one becomes glorious. And that's what we see in Kunti and the Pandavas, who after thousands of years are still instructing us with every aspect of their life. We simply look at their lives, and it's just, and within it we get like so many instructions that there's no end to it. And their success is transferred to us if we follow them. That is the so Kunti Devi being the incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. If we simply follow her, her path of success, success will also be with us. Okay, now any questions or comments?
No, I found it interesting when you mentioned that Kunti Devi is the success incarnation of the success potency of the Lord, how she was dealing with her firstborn son, because there wasn't always like so smooth in all cases. Like in the wrestling arena, when Karna came, then it was said that the whole thing could have been avoided, the conflict, if he had like spoken up, you know, that he's also my son, and they would all be on the same side, but instead. So,
yeah, but Karna was not of suitable character to be the ruler of the world. Karna was the eldest son. But we discussed yesterday who Karna actually was, that Karna was an incarnation of Narkasura, and that in that way Karna was not suitable. So again, the success of Kunti was not always based on was not based on the material condition or on her material decisions. It seemed not so successful that she had a son before marriage. Anyway, she saved her reputation by putting the boy in the river and so on. But again, we see Krishna, who perfectly arranged it, that this son, no, not this one. This one is not suitable. No. No. There will be Panchapanda. There will be five, not six. No, this one cannot be Panda. This one cannot rule the world. It will have to be Yudhisthira. Three.
Maharaj, the ego is that blame should go to the Lord Indra, not to the Karna.
Not to Karna?
Yeah.
It was Surya, his father.
Not Surya.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Karna seemed to be. He seemed to be a victim from day one. His mother rejected him. Same song as George Harrison. Mother, you left me, but I never left you. And one of those heartbreaking stories where the mother ruthlessly leaves the child. Right? I mean, how could she do it? What kind of mother she was. We can ask all these questions.
Right? Then the Lord Surya should be punished.
What?
Lord Surya should be punished.
Surya should be punished. Why? He will say it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault.
He made a mistake.
No. He will say it was Devasamuni. He gave the mantra. Mantra that then he was obliged to give. In the mantra, she called him for that purpose of conceiving a son. That was the mantra. So since she spoke the mantra, but the king, a kshatriya, when requested to give a child, he cannot refuse. By a suitable lady, he cannot refuse. Okay, that's against the code. So it was his dharmic duty to give, to do.
So that means you put all the blame on Karna.
Well, I mean, you can't condemn Kunti, because I was just listening to this lecture. Where were we hearing this lecture?
It was Prabhupada, the memories.
Oh, you were watching with me. Yeah, the Prabhupada memories, right? We were watching this lecture, and this lecture is about, you know, that women are not guilty. Women are not guilty. They're never guilty. They are not to be condemned. So women are not guilty. Children are also not guilty, also not to be condemned. They're also not guilty. Right? And old men, Prabhupada looked at himself, old men, they're also not guilty. They're also not to be condemned. And finally, said, Brahmins also not guilty, also not to be condemned. So he said, actually here, nobody is guilty. Nobody is to be condemned. But don't take advantage. So Kunti Devi was not guilty. Now Surya, he was just responding to the mantra. Kunti Devi was, of course, should not have chanted the mantra. But she was a woman, so she was not guilty.
She wanted to know whether it is true or not.
Yeah, but that, you know, it's like you get in trouble with that. You want to know if it's true or not, and you get a baby. He gave her the child. That was his duty as a kshatriya.
And then to protect him.
He did look after, he arranged things for him. He did. That he did. He was there at times, in the background, protecting him.
So Maharaj, it's wonderful to see, you know, how even though being the incarnation of the success potency of the Lord, this material qualifications don't save anyone, it's actually Krishna, the chariot.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. They're not guilty.
But if big man do mistake, then it is covered up.
But if he's old, then he's not guilty. We can argue what is old. Srini is old. He is not guilty.
Maharaj, there was another thing about Nakula and Sahadev. In one version it is stated that they are the sons of the twin Ashwinis. Mm-hmm. And Srila Prabhupada is telling you they are the sons of Maharaj Pandu.
Yeah. But not conceived by mantra. So still they are also celestials, but they came through a regular conception. That means that because the parents were so qualified, they attracted such qualified sons. Also by divine arrangement and the qualification of the parents. But not by mantra.
I recall hearing that Kunti Devi gave the mantra to...
Yeah, I also recall, but here it says different.
Yeah.
So, today we're following it. He likes his Mahabharata. Yes?
It's just a detailed German question. So, it said that when Kunti is this success energy, which Tattva does the maker, she's Jiva Tattva.
Jiva. Shakti Avesh. Success energy means an energy. So it's Shakti. Shakti Aves, the embodiment of the special power of the Lord.
She's not Shakti
Tattva. What? No. Jiva. Shakti Aves means always Jiva Tattva, not Shakti. Then we'll end. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada, Kija.
Yeah.